7-month-old baby has died in hospital, taking the death toll to 5 after a man deliberately drove his car at pedestrians on a footpath in Melbourne CBD. The accused driver, 26-year-old Demetrios Gargasoulis, was known to police and had been driving erratically around Melbourne after allegedly stabbing his brother that morning. He was eventually stopped on Bourke Street when police shot him in the arm. Meanwhile, a makeshift memorial has been erected on the corner of Bourke Street and Elizabeth Street, where people are leaving flowers and messages. Melbourne's Lord Mayor Robert Doyle says there'll be a chance this week for people to write a personal message.
If people wish to leave some thoughts of their own to help them through this awful time, there will be condolence books in the foyer of Town Hall from first thing on Monday morning, and we'd certainly invite people to make use of those as well.
Two women are dead after a head-on crash near Jimboomba in southeast Queensland. Police say the women were passengers in one of two cars that collided on the Mount Lindsay Highway yesterday afternoon. The drivers of both vehicles and another passenger were taken to Brisbane's Princess Alexandra Hospital for treatment to their injuries. Earlier in the day, a 40-year-old motorcyclist died at the scene of a collision with a car on the Bruce Highway at Balbera in central Queensland. The 48-year-old woman driving the car was treated for shock at Mackay Base Hospital. An elderly man has died after being pinned against a fence by a ute in the Blue Mountains. It's believed the utility rolled and dragged the 79-year-old a short distance before he became pinned to the fence at Burns Road in Springwood around 7 last night. He was treated by paramedics but died at the scene. The death is not believed to be suspicious. A search will resume today for a wanted man who jumped into water in South Australia to avoid being arrested. Police were chasing the man in Ceduna just after 6 last night when he jumped into the water off Dowling Crescent. The man swam about 200 metres from shore before patrols lost sight of him. A water search using local SES and National Parks and Wildlife boats failed to find the missing man. Police from Adelaide will assist in the search. Overseas, Donald Trump has spent his first full night at the White House following his inauguration in Washington yesterday. Today, hundreds of thousands of people are expected to participate in protest marches in the US Capitol and in New York. From Washington, Simon Marks reports.
Donald Trump's night of parties and inaugural balls ended here in Washington just before midnight. The new dawn brings with it a chance for him to sign more executive orders and stamp his mark on government. But it also brings the so-called Million Women's March. Demonstrators will take to the streets throughout the day, voicing their view that Donald Trump doesn't speak for them. It's a deeply divided America, and Donald Trump is now in charge of it. Simon Marks, Washington.
And 16 people have died in a bus crash in northern Italy, with about 40 people injured after the bus crashed late at night near Verona. The high school students on board were travelling from France to Hungary. This is Air News. Daria Gavrilova has kept the local flame burning at the Australian Open to set up a showdown with Czech fifth seed Carolina Pliskova. Gavrilova, the last Australian standing at Melbourne Park, squandered 2 match points against Swiss 12th seed Tamia Bachinski, but regrouped to claim a 6-3, 5-7, 6-4 victory last night. The 2.5-hour triumph ensures Gavrilova will at least equal her best showing at the Open after crashing out in the 4th round last year. The Sydney Sixers have claimed a last gasp semi-final berth, defeating the Melbourne Stars by 3 wickets in the last match of the BBL regular season. The Sixers were 5th on the ladder before last night's pivotal clash at the MCG, but chased down a modest target of 157 runs with 1 over to spare to leap into 3rd spot. The loss cost the Stars a home final, with the result crosstown rivals the Renegades, who were in 4th place, were also knocked out of the finals contention. In the semi-final, the Sixers will face the Brisbane Heat at the Gabba, and the Stars will take on the Perth Scorchers at the Wacca. Perth Glory have scored 2 late goals to secure a 2-1 comeback win over the Melbourne Victory in the A-League. And in the NBL, the Adelaide 36ers beat the Sydney Kings 87-73, and the Brisbane Bullets celebrated with a win over Melbourne United 88-71. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney's weather today becoming mostly sunny, cloud clearing in the afternoon, a light southeasterly winds heading for a top temperature of 27 degrees. Good news is 0% chance of any rain today. Jimmy, what about at Glenwood and up at Glen Innes?
Nice. I like what you've done there, Raymond. Glenwood, would you believe, a top of 27 also. And then if you want to go to Glen Innes in the States North, partly cloudy today, a maximum temperature of 28 degrees.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Ricebury.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
Are you Rigid Dig, Lionel?
Rigid Dig about what, Mum?
Mates rates for Australia Day at Bing Lee.
You bet, Mum. We've got red-hot Australia Day specials store-wide all this week.
Are you, Lionel?
Mum, what's got into you?
Australia Day. Rock up with Rellos.
Mum, I think you've got a couple of kangaroos loose in your top paddy.
Speak English, Lionel.
Don't miss our Australia Day specials all this week at Bingley.
And there's a great deal more in store.
Whether you want to freight your horse from Karaka to Australia or freight your horse further afield from New Zealand or Australia, NZB Air Freight offers unrivalled service and expertise. Call the team at NZB Air Freight on 02-9667-2250. Choose NZB Air Freight for first-class service at economy rates. Call NZB Air Freight today, 02-9667-2250.
Majestic, and the judgment of history will surely be that she was in a class of her own.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Why? Because
on Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Just trying to sort out what's on the program over there.
You've got quick, running sheet there from quick little producer chat, Jeremy.
Quick little chat just before we go on air, and then away we go. I think that's how we do it, isn't
it's it? Homework,
isn't it?
Is
that what we do?
5 minutes prior.
Anyway, we'll see how we go. It's apparently the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend today, and it's Sunday the 22nd of January.
You're off to a good start here, mate. You're off to a flyer.
Yeah. I believe the phone number here is 135353 if you'd like to be involved in the program. If you want to get us on the SMS, you can do that as well, 0419 SMSBSB. And Raymond, that translates to 0419 767 272. Twitter was lighting up last night for lots of reasons, but one of them was, of course, the win of the Sixers. We'll get to that very shortly. But if you want to get us on the tweets today, then you can do that. And that is at Big Sports WEND. At Big Sports WEND. Lots to get through throughout the course of this program. We're going to have a chat to Mike Tomolaris about this Tour Down Under. We've got our race replays, Ray, so you can relax.
You're happy about that, aren't you?
James Cummings, bang, bang, first two races yesterday. Thanks very much, including the two-year-old race. We'll talk to him about impressive little filly named Exceeds. Adrian Bott had a winner yesterday with Gay Waterhouse, Ecuador. Good story there around Adam Hieronymus and his father, Craig, who won the same event 30 years prior, well before Adam was born. Bobby Alyssa. It's a really good story too. Superstar Bob. Named after Bobby? Maybe
he should claim it, shouldn't he?
He should claim it. Yeah. We'll have a chat to him. Andy Pascaletti's from the World of Football. Some shock results there overnight
Liverpool.
In the English Premier League.
Disaster.
The Event Cinema quiz, it's on again. We've got the VMAX double pass to give away this morning, courtesy of Event Cinemas at Parramatta. Prakash and the team out there. Our legend of the game. Now, this is a good one. Our legend of the game today is Ian Michael Chappell.
The great
Chappelli.
I.M. Chappell.
Very inventive and aggressive K captain of the Australian cricket team, and of course a broadcaster with Channel 9 since 1980, and a long and distinguished career there. But of course made his name as the Australian cricket captain and shaped the team in his image in that early part of the 1970s. Trent Lanscale from tab.com.au. Peter Cruikshank is the part owner breeder of Olympic Academy. Had a win yesterday at Royal Randwick. And Leo Schlink will give us an update of the Australian Open. Shocks during the week with the departure of Novak Djokovic. And a few things I've got to get off my chest too about this Australian Open and the coverage of it. We can do all that throughout the course of the morning, right up until 9 o'clock. And we're doing it with this man, Ray Thomas, who... I know you're supposed to be on holidays, aren't you, Ray Thomas? But you just seem to... Yeah. You just work. Good morning, mate.
Good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, everyone. You're not enjoying the Australian Open?
Oh, loving it.
What about Roger Federer?
You know what I'm loving? The tennis.
Yes.
The coverage.
Expand.
Well, we're missing Bruce. Would
Bruce,
you agree
Bruce
with that?
Bruce has been rested. Oh, I tried to contact Bruce during the week.
Does he feel all Mitch Stark in Boxing Day tested?
I didn't hear back from him, so I hope he's well. Bruce, if you're listening, good morning.
Well, they said he's had a long year last year with the footy season and the Olympics.
He loves his tennis.
Hang on a minute. So between the footy season and the Olympics, it's been about 3 months.
So you're not enjoying the commentary? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, look, it's all right. I tell you what I'm sick of, having Daria Gavrilova shoved down my throat.
You mean Dasher?
Well, that annoys
me. Her name's Daria,
so call her Daria, please. Mm-hmm. But the other thing about it is, given the assault that Big Bash has had on Australian sporting audiences and the clear wins it was having early in the week, except when they get those superstar players, you know, your Federers or an Aussie.
As you well tweeted the other night, Federer v. McCullum, how good was it? Oh, channel surfing in between
where,
shots.
Where do you go? Where do you go? But... When they unless they get those stars, you know, they're being soundly beaten by the Big Bash.
That's interesting.
Either a star or an Australian interest, you know. Nick Kyrgios out. Bernard Tomic played okay, but he was out. So now, I know she's not a bad player, Daria Gavrilova, and she's a naturalised Aussie as of December 2015. But the flag waving and the chest beating for Dasher. Oh, Dasher's this and Dasher's that. Mate, give me a break.
Jimmy, she's the last Australian left in the tournament. She's going to cog the headlines. Well, she got through to the fourth round last night, winning 6-4 in the third, so well done to her. Roger Federer versus Thomas Berdych. That was the night that McCullum was going berserk as well. How good was Roger Federer playing that night? Thomas Berdych,
apparently he's had some time off. Oh. Well, you wouldn't know it.
It was unbelievable. But have you seen his draw?
Apparently he's 35.
It was incredible.
Did he break sweat?
Oh,
the number 10 in the world and a very good player in Thomas Berdych. And he didn't break a sweat.
And Thomas Berdych has troubled Roger Federer in the past, but he was just extraordinary. Unfortunately, the draw doesn't help Roger Federer. Today he plays Kei Nishikori, number 5 in the world. Yeah. If he happens to get through, guess who waits for him in the quarterfinals?
Quarters?
Andy Murray.
Andy, okay.
And if he happens to get through that, guess who waits for him in the semifinals? Stan the man. So it's a really tough draw for Roger. But it was great to see him back playing at that level again, Jimmy, given that he hasn't played since Wimbledon, since he was hurt.
This comes back to the point we're making about where Roger Rashid made it, and that was Wimbledon's the only tournament that will rank players on their own basis as opposed to the Australian Open does it on their ATP ranking.
Yeah.
So Roger was 17. Which always meant, well, you're going to get tricky parts of the draw.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's happening for him. But...
he's playing well.
If you're good enough, then away you go.
Cardinal sin I made last night, Jim. I never do this. When Maddison hit that ball to Gully, it was out. Sixes, 6-97, game over. Went to bed.
Did you?
Didn't see Sean Abbott and Nathan Botha suddenly turn that around and get the sixes into the finals. How did they do it?
I'll tell you how they did it. They did it by just some clean hitting. I'll tell you what I did. When Maddison was dismissed, you and I, this is scary, turned the lights off, went to bed. So I thought, well, that's it. They're gone. Haddon out. Maddison out. 6-4. They can't win this.
Yep.
Went to bed. Just before I was head hit the pillow, I thought, because you've got a bit of stuff to do. You've got to brush your teeth. Had to take the boys to the toilet. So they don't wet the bed. Their mother has to wash the sheets the next morning. just a little extra.
Things you have when you've got little kids.
Yeah. I just thought, look, I'll check the Sixers' Twitter feed, see where they're at. And I saw the previous two tweets were, Abbott hits a six, Abbott hits a four. I said, right, I'm getting out of bed. Oh. I'm getting back up. So I saw the last.
You should have texted me or done something.
I saw the last three overs and clean hitting from Abbott, well supported by Johan. Both of you go, oh, he hasn't really hit the ball hard. He had 20 off 10.
Yeah.
And great, match great winning, comeback. As Ricky Ponting said, match winning partnership. And they end up getting across the line. Mm. Both are out just before the end. Ben Dwarsh has got them home with an edge down past third man. But that means they are in the semi-finals.
So how does it work now, Jim? Who plays who?
It's the Heat versus the Sixers.
Brisbane at home against Sydney.
At Brisbane
and
at home
Perth
at
play,
Sydney.
The Scorchers play the Melbourne Stars.
That's correct.
At WACA.
That's correct. So there you go. That's our game's coming up for the Big Bash League. It's just great product, isn't it? Consume it as you will, as you
absolutely
want.
Absolutely love it. Yeah. And great to see Sean Abbott having such a great series. He's the leading wicket taker with 16 wickets so far in BBL 6. And
yes,
he hasn't had a lot of runs until last night, but he's always got that potential. He's a very clean hitter, as you said. and hits
the ball really, really well.
Terrific stuff.
Yeah. Now, the other one that caught the eye during the course of the week, and there's been lots too, Ben Hunt to the Dragons, you would have been happy with that.
St George have finally got a halfback.
St George got a halfback. Not this year, though.
Mm.
Got to wait a year.
Yeah. How do you think that might play at Broncos land with Wayne Bennett over the 2017 season, knowing also he's got Benji Marshall now in his playing ranks?
If you wanted to win games, and I'm not being disrespectful to Benji Marshall, but if you wanted to win games, who would you have in your side, Ben Hunt or Benji Marshall?
He'd pick Ben Hunt.
That's right. So I think Wayne's pretty keen on winning games. In the absence of another halfback, speculation is he'll push hard to get Ash Taylor back.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he released Ash Taylor from his contract early doors to go and play at the Gold Coast, and he made a real name for himself last year. Excellent player, Ash Taylor. Kane Elgee is another one that might be in the sights of the Brisbane Broncos, but I would say that Ben Hunt will play all year. Be surprised if he didn't. He did it famously with Justin Hodges, remember? He dropped him. But he didn't with Wendell Saylor.
That's correct.
And the reason was he said, well, Wendell's given a lot of service to us, and he deserves it. He's signed about halfway through the year with Rugby Union. Mm-hmm. But Ben Hunt to the Dragons. So, Dragons fans, are you happy with that? 13-53-53. He's a very good player. He's taking up a lot of salary cap space.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a lot of, and the speculation, $1 or $1.2 million, whatever it is, it's a lot of money that they paid for him. They've got a guy down there named Jay Field. He's not ready yet. He's brave. He's 67 kilos and he's lightning fast. But when you play him alongside someone like a Ben Hunt, then you're looking maybe at a real player of the future. So
I agree.
Something to look at there.
Have mentioned the fourth ODI, Australia 2-1 up in the series against Pakistan. Peter Hanscom's golden summer continues.
Yeah.
The luck's just running with him, but you've got to ride that luck sometimes in sport, haven't you? Like, he was out on naught, edge caught behind, no ball.
Mm.
He was on four when he slashed a gully. Mm. Should have been a sitter. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Put down.
Yeah.
Ended up scoring 82 in his ODI debut. So Australia 2-1 up going into today's game. The test team name for India. Mm. What'd you make of that? Four spinners. Well, wild card Mitchell Swepson.
All the ones that we mentioned, all the people that we spoke to and were saying that a ball fast through the air is different for them. You know, from an Australian spin point of view, do we have a player that's going to go over there and knock a heap of them over? You'll play your two spinners and then you need players who can bowl a ball quickly. So maybe they're a fast bowler short. Either way, you look at it and you still think, well, they're going to be very hard to beat, India.
Mm.
Very, very hard to beat on the pitches that we know will be prepared to suit their team.
Yep.
To suit their team. One thing, just before we go to an ad break, Josh Cartwright, right?
Mm.
I saw the front page of the newspaper last week after we...
On the Monday morning.
We didn't know about it on the Sunday morning, but we certainly found out during the course of the day.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to be the likely penalty for Josh Cartwright? Because that was the most extraordinary and incredibly dangerous thing you would ever see on a racetrack.
Well, given that, fortunately, Jimmy, no one was injured, and how Jason Holder stayed in the saddle, he was on the extreme outside, is extraordinary. Josh Cartwright has admitted as well at the initial stewards' inquiry last Saturday that he did ride with intent to go across and try and impede one of the runners on his outside, and that horse then canned into Jason Holder's mountain, almost all but dislodged J Jason Holder from the saddle. Fortunately, no one did fall. Fortunately, no horses fell. Fortunately, no one was injured. But the potential and the possible consequences from that action, I've seen nothing like it in all the years I've been watching racing. I've spoken to a number of people who have lived racing all their lives. They've seen nothing, no incident to compare. What he gets at the inquiry, he's going to get a lengthy time on the sidelines.
3 years?
People are talking in him between 1 to 5, possibly even longer.
Yep.
He has to get an extended period because the potential consequences of that were calamitous.
Yes.
And how it didn't happen is unfortunate. Look, I know people have got a lot of excuses now for him, saying the young man's under pressure, etc., is suffering possible depression, etc., because of his workload. My point to say about that, Jimmy, and I'm not casting any aspersions upon him, but if he was under a lot of pressure, if he was suffering from depression, if those around him knew that the young man was, why didn't someone speak up? Because the potential for him to cause harm if he wasn't in the fit state of mind to ride, we saw what happened last Saturday.
Absolutely. Point well made. And we can continue to make it throughout the course of the morning if you'd like to do that. 13:53:53. A talk topic that we're very excited about. That's going to be released after this break.
For a best price on a new Mazda, go and see the man. The 2016 plate clearance is on now at Penrith Mazda Centre. Hurry in for special offers like Mazda 3 with free rego, free CTP and free stamp duty. Our Mazda Youth Centre has great offers on VT50s with over 30 on display. Penrith Mazda Centre, family owned and operated and with over 300 new Mazdas in stock. Mulgoa Road, Penrith, MD18808.
All covered, all ground, all beaten. Franco won the Champion Stakes and lived up to the fight.
International racing at its very best. 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one VT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Can I have a moment of your time? Just a single.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray on a Sunday morning, and plenty of sport to talk about. Love to hear your thoughts on anything to do with sport. Call us on 13:53:53 or SMS 0419 767 272. Jimmy, made a little faux pas with our weather intro, and our avid listener Parramatta's picked us up straight away.
Yeah.
Oops, Jimmy, I thought my CD-winning suggestion from last week would be a game-changer. But what's happened to giving the Sydney suburban current temperature instead of the same top temperature? Paramat says he's free next Sunday to come into the studio to straighten things out for you.
Won't be required, Paramat. Appreciate the offer, though.
We did make mention of that, didn't we? As soon as we did it, we thought Paramat's suggestion.
And listen, Paramat, just because you win 1 week and get the CDs, mate, doesn't mean the idea carries over. We'll look at it in the course of the break and maybe get back to you and see how we're going there. But I hope you get those CDs.
And Paramat's just sent a little bouncer through again. Just another. His next delivery was, "So, boys, you're saying you both went to bed at the same time?" that's scary on several fronts. But like all of us, he was glad to see the Sixers get through, and Sean Abbott's work with Johan Botha to get them through into the finals.
Talk topic, superstitions. On the back of Brendan McCullum, who names every one of his bats after a horse, he was batting with All Too Hard the other night.
Didn't he have Burnborough not long ago?
He had Burnborough. He had United States. So it's a funny little superstition that he has, but that's one that we thought we'd... Superstitions in sport.
I've got one, and I want to ask Leo to actually confirm this.
Okay.
But apparently Serena Williams does not change her socks during a tournament.
Doesn't change her socks?
Mm.
Didn't know where you were going with that, Ray. But anyway, Serena Williams
doesn't change her socks during a tournament.
Well, famously, Bjorn Borg didn't shave for Wimbledon. He'd start clean shaven on the Monday, and then...
Man from Borneo by the second week.
Yeah, exactly. So the second week, which invariably he was in, late into it.
Great player, Bjorn.
Then he would have this growth that was so familiar, wasn't
that's
it?
That's right.
So there you go.
He used to get down his knees and roll back when he won...
Neil McKenzie, the famous South African cricketer, he used to tape his bats to the ceiling of the dressing sheds.
Tell me. Tape them to the ceiling?
Tape them to the ceiling, Ray.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never heard that one.
Sporting superstitions. We'll take your thoughts on that. 13:53:53. Lots of people want to have their say already. Paul is on the line, wants to talk about Josh Cartwright. G'day, Paul.
How you going, boys?
Really well, Paul. Mate.
Boys, I think 1 to 5 years, even 5 years is too light. Like, the bloke has got to get 10 to life for sure. It was just like Jason Holder, he came out of the
cell.
He came out of the dime. He pushed, if he wasn't as good of a rider as what he is, he got himself back into his saddle, into his iron.
That was amazing, wasn't it, Paul?
And not only that, Cartwright should be fined, and the money should go to Holder and the owner's horse, because that thing was going to win. Yeah. I don't care what they say.
The problem we got here, Paul, is there's no real precedent for anything like this before. Like, that was some extraordinary
thing. What do you line
thing.
It up with?
And just trying to find a penalty, but it'll all be played out in the next couple of weeks. And, look, it's sad because he's only a young man and his whole career is ahead of him, but this is life-changing for all the wrong reasons.
Mm. Yeah, I'm just sick of hearing, and it's not just him. I'm just sick of hearing sportsmen in general and women start playing the mental card.
The depression card, yeah.
Oh, geez. Like, I mean, because this is what everyone becomes cynical, and you start thinking, oh, well, is he suffering depression, or is it just another bloody excuse?
Correct, yeah. No, yeah. I agree with that, Paul. And it's become very, very frequent in recent times. It's almost an excuse that's been rolled out when a person looks to be under real pressure. At the end of the day, my point earlier, Paul, was if people knew that the young man was having some issues, they should have flagged that with the stewards at least.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think and this is the really, you need to be really sensitive about this, but people get very cynical and sceptical when people do start saying, they're suffering depression, because of the way I think it's been misused previously. Some people use it appropriately. Exactly.
It's been used an excuse far too often.
That's right. I agree. 1353 53, the open line number. Greek Bulldog is there. Hello, GB.
Hey, Jimmy, how are you, Ray?
Yeah, good morning, GB.
Jimmy, I'm totally with you. I'm over that dash of this and dash of that. I can't cop it anymore. I can't watch the game. I don't know what to say. We will claim anybody in Australian that represents us.
You know what?
We claim Farley.
And that's the thing, Greek Bulldog. Mm. We'll claim them, and the only reason she's been claimed is she might be a ratings grab.
Mm.
Exactly. Oh, I can't cop that.
No.
You know? Just because our players at the moment are not performing, are we that desperate?
Exactly. It was so frustrating. Mm. So call her by a correct name, please.
Call her Daria.
Her name is Daria.
Totally with you. I'm totally with you.
Do you like watching her play, though, GB?
I do, but I can't stand the commentary.
She's actually good fun to watch.
You know what? She frustrates me terribly.
Why? But she puts so much into it.
I thought I was the only man, but beautiful.
Forget the commentary.
Nah,
she's actually
I'll tell you what. Watch that game last night between Alexander Zverev and Rafael Nadal.
Oh, that was brilliant.
A brilliant game of tennis.
I watched it.
So what about his mental state, that guy? He was so composed, so calm, going, and despite the fact he knew his legs were giving way and he was going to lose what was a great five-set match. Daria Gavrilova is so frustrating because she's just all over the place.
Jimmy, what about when we had Kim Clijsters? Aussie Kim, what happened to her?
Aussie Kim.
Kim gone.
We've abandoned her.
You know what happened to her? Someone ditched someone, whether it was she or Leighton, I don't know what it was, and that was it.
She went back home.
Yeah.
All right, boys, have a good day.
Go on, your GB.
Gee, hasn't GB come up with some energy early doors? Can we get him? GB on the line, because we've got some CDs to give away. Look,
Cream of Country, because it is Country Music Festival at home.
Is it? At Tamworth?
Yeah.
Country Music Festival. All right, so stay on the line, GB, because we're going to send you out the year's biggest country hits. Cream of Country includes 2017 songs. Now, I'm just looking.
Songs that you know off the top of your head.
Carrie Underwood's there.
There you go.
You like her? So Kenny Chesney's there as well. Look, we've got callers already want to get on the line.
We've got Mick on the line. Mick, good morning. We thought we had Mick.
No, we haven't got Mick. We've just about got the news chasing us though, Roman. So
yeah. Reckon Mick will hang on?
Yeah, we'll keep Mick over, if that's all right. Sorry, I'm getting the look of disappointment on producer Jeremy's face when we do something like that. I mean, how are we supposed to run this program, Ray?
Well, Jeremy's thinking, that's the first half. How the hell do you get through that?
Yeah, well, we've done it.
I think he's going to walk in for a pep talk and then the news.
Oh, one of these famous pep talks, huh? We'll be all downcast after that.
He's not happy.
Not happy. Well, I'll tell you what. after the news, we've got the race replays coming up. We've got Mike Tomalaris.
That'll make you happy.
And we've got replays. And we've got your calls on 1353 53, Mick.
Sarah Warmby, a three-month-old baby has died in hospital, taking the death toll to five after a man deliberately drove his car at pedestrians on a footpath in Melbourne CBD. The accused driver, 26-year-old Demetrius Gargasoulis, was known to police and had been driving erratically around Melbourne after allegedly stabbing his brother that morning. He was eventually stopped on Bourke Street when police shot him in the arm. Meanwhile, a makeshift memorial has been erected on the corner of Bourke Street and Elizabeth Street, where people are leaving flowers and messages. Melbourne's Lord Mayor Robert Doyle says there'll be a chance this week for people to write a personal message.
If people wish to leave some thoughts of their own to help them through this awful time, there will be condolence books in the foyer of Town Hall from first thing on Monday morning, and we'd certainly invite people to make use of those as well.
Two women are dead after a head-on crash near Jimboomba in southeast Queensland. Police say the women were passengers in one of two cars that collided on the Mount Lindsay Highway yesterday afternoon. The drivers of both vehicles and another passenger were taken to Brisbane's Princess Alexandra Hospital for treatment to their injuries. Earlier in the day, a 40-year-old motorcyclist died at the scene of a collision with a car on the Bruce Highway at Balbera in central Queensland. The 48-year-old woman driving the car was treated for shock at Mackay Base Hospital. An elderly man has died after being pinned against a fence by a ute in the Blue Mountains. It's believed the utility rolled and dragged the 79-year-old a short distance before he became pinned to the fence at Burns Road in Springwood around 7 last night. He was treated by paramedics but died at the scene. The death is not believed to be suspicious. A search will resume today for a wanted man who jumped into water in South Australia to avoid being arrested. Police were chasing the man in Ceduna just after 6 last night when he jumped into the water off Dowling Crescent. The man swam about 200 metres from shore before patrols lost sight of him. A water search using local SES and National Parks and Wildlife boats failed to find the missing man. Police from Adelaide will assist in the search. Overseas, Donald Trump has spent his first full night at the White House following his inauguration in Washington yesterday. Today, hundreds of thousands of people are expected to participate in protest marches in the US Capitol and in New York. From Washington, Simon Marks reports.
Donald Trump's night of parties and inaugural balls ended here in Washington just before midnight. The new dawn brings with it a chance for him to sign more executive orders and stamp his mark on government. But it also brings the so-called Million Women's March. Demonstrators will take to the streets throughout the day, voicing their view that Donald Trump doesn't speak for them. It's a deeply divided America, and Donald Trump is now in charge of it. Simon Marks, Washington.
And 16 people have died in a bus crash in northern Italy, with about 40 people injured after the bus crashed late at night near Verona. The high school students on board were travelling from France to Hungary. This is AIR News. Daria Gavrilova has kept the local flame burning at the Australian Open to set up a showdown with Czech fifth seed Carolina Pliskova. Gavrilova, the last Australian standing at Melbourne Park, squandered two match points against Swiss 12th seed Tamia Bachinski, but regrouped to claim a 6-3, 5-7, 6-4 victory last night. The 2.5-hour triumph ensures Gavrilova will at least equal her best showing at the Open after crashing out in the fourth round last year. The Sydney Sixers have claimed a last-gasp semi-final berth, defeating the Melbourne Stars by 3 wickets in the last match of the BBL regular season. The Sixers were fifth on the ladder before last night's pivotal clash at the MCG, but chased down a modest target of 157 runs with one over to spare to leap into third spot. The loss cost the Stars a home final, with the result crosstown rivals the Renegades, who were in fourth place, were also knocked out of the finals contention. In the semi-final, the Sixers will face the Brisbane Heat at the Gabba, and the Stars will take on the Perth Scorchers at the Wacker. Perth Glory have scored 2 late goals to secure a 2-1 comeback win over the Melbourne Victory in the A-League. And in the NBL, the Adelaide 36ers beat the Sydney Kings 87-73, and the Brisbane Bullets celebrated with a win over Melbourne United 88-71. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Cloud clearing to a mostly sunny day, Ray. Light southeast winds becoming northeasterly, 20 to 30 kilometres in the afternoon. It's a maximum today in Sydney town of 27. What is the current temperature at Queenscliff and Quirindi? What are we going to go for the Quirindi maximum?
Paramat, we're right back in the groove here. Current temperature at Queenscliff, 12 degrees.
12?
Heading for a top temperature of 28. Now, out at Quirindi...
Yeah, that's a big difference.
Yeah, it is. A bit cool, isn't it? But that's what it says here. Not making it up, Jim.
Usually we do. I can't believe you've actually gone to a website.
Quirindi, out near Tamworth, Quirindi. Lovely part of the world. Currently at 17. Heading for a top temperature of 33 degrees at Quirindi. Partly cloudy day. No rain.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
I'll get on my back, lone survivor last. They got me in the sun.
Welcome back to the program. People who only have their say. Morning, Jimmy and Ray. Steve Turvey Mortimer wore the same faded blue shorts for the Dogs for many years in the 80s. Cheers, John from Moorbank.
The great man Steve wore the red handkerchief.
Oh, there you go.
The red hanky. Yes.
There you go.
They start
perfect.
Flooding back, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. Even the baggy green caps, you know, the old baggy greens. That's
he
in many ways idiosyncratic.
One.
Yes. Keep them coming in, idiosyncrasies. Guys, now this is one I've seen with Channel 9's broadcast of the ODIs. Mm-hmm. Guys, I don't like how the cricket broadcasters have changed how they show the bowling figures. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I know.
They show
the
wickets first.
You can't see the overs and how many overs they bowled.
Why is that? Why have they done that? It's been years where they haven't had it. Haven't done it that way.
Well, I guess I actually can't answer that question. And it is, you've got to look very closely to work out and get it right. Yeah.
And Steve from Rudy Hill says, dot balls, et cetera, I find it confusing, especially after I've had a few beers. Well, it's confusing before a few beers, Steve.
Jimmy, I must... This SMS has just come in. I best not reveal the lady's name, so we'll call her Joan.
All right, Joan, go ahead. Joan.
Ask your mate, that's you... If his mother, if Mrs. Smith, named him James or Jimmy, and is it okay to call Rafa Nadal Rafa, or Andrew Johns Joey?
Yeah. What's the point?
Dasher is a nickname, and there's an explanation after that. Get over it, Jimmy.
Who's that from?
Joan.
Joan.
Say Joan here.
Listen, Joan, I'll tell you what. Rafa has earned the right
to be called
Raphael. Andrew has earned the right to be called Joey. And the only reason we're Dasher this and Dasher that is because Channel 7 want ratings. They just want an Australian star. Stop forcing it down our throats.
Watch out for your cup of tea that's going to go next.
That's what I... You know, it's fabricated. It's not because we love it. It's because we want some ratings points. That's what I don't like. It's like, let's appreciate her as a tennis player... And then when
she said you don't.
Yeah, that's right. Well,
try
and appreciate
her. Forget the commentary.
No, but what I'm saying is, set her up as okay. Here she's, a good young tennis player who's flopped. She's flopped over to Australia.
Change allegiances.
14 months ago. Let's just see how she goes. Rather than there's no Aussies left. Let's pump up Dasher.
Yeah, are you right now?
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I know, but I think you. Taking a little bit too far. Paramat, boys are on fire. That pep talk from Jeremy during the newsbreakers turned your morning around.
The pep talk from Jeremy consisted of him opening the door, shaking his head as he normally does. It's going to fall off one day and then walking back out again. I don't know whether that's a pep talk.
You know what that means?
What?
We're going to get another pep talk at 7 o'clock.
One day it'll fall off.
Righto, we'll come right back down. This will bring you back down to earth.
What have we got?
Race replays.
Okay.
Yeah, he is. He's shattered. It's an important part of the show, Jimmy.
I know.
We're starting to build into the Autumn Carnival now.
Yes.
It's attract sponsorship to the show as well, don't forget.
What's that? Have we got a sponsored segment?
Not yet, but we're endeavouring to do so.
Oh, okay. Imagine how possible. We talk about Channel 7 forcing things down your throat. Here are the race replays. Brought to you by. How could
this be? There's a vacant spot there. I think we're in massive trouble at 7 o'clock from producer Jim. We're getting nowhere fast.
Come on, Roman. Come on. Take control here, Roman.
I'm sorry. First race tomorrow. Yesterday at Randwick, so you're completely throwing me, Jim. Righto. Deep breath. Okay. We're on the same page now?
Yep.
Big wrap on a first start in this race yesterday. Eden Rock had trialled brilliantly. Yeah. Was sent out a long odds on favourite.
Three-quarter brother.
Two-star turn.
Yep.
Beautifully bred, lovely looking colt too. I'm not prepared to write him off. I think he's a horse with a lot of promise. 1,000 metres wasn't his go. Plus, there is nothing like race experience. Exceeds was too good.
Then Sweet Bocan, the hot favourite Eden Rock. Length further back to Exceeds. The Monts lost the plot and further back to Ultramarine. Into the straight now. Mr. Grumpy being tested by Pandemonium the outside. Berry Gus gets into Eden Rock now. Sweet Bocan the inside. Ultramarine slicing through the field and then came Exceeds. Pandemonium is the leader. Eden Rock's no good thing. Pandemonium in front. Exceeds is sprinting down the outside with the benefit of racetrack experience. And Exceeds is drawn clear. Goes on to win it from Eden Rock, who got the bob in for second in front of Pandemonium.
And so the two-year-old filly for James Cummings, who had that fourth to From Within.
In a very strong form race.
On New Year's Eve. So there is some good form coming out of that race. And, of course, the benefit of experience in that two-year-old race was proven to be important as well.
Improved considerably between runs, Jim. And James Cummings likes her a lot as a potential Autumn Carnival contender. We'll talk to him a little bit later about Exceeds. The next race, Tactical Advantage. He keeps winning. The price keeps getting longer. Horse can't read. He was too good again.
Spending to win the rails. Ahead in front to Star Cross. Schofield just looking to come away off the heels of Star Cross on Tactical Advantage. He's not there yet. Generalissimo keeps him in. Guard of Honour is roused along now as they come up the rise. Spending to win from Star Cross. Tactical Advantage has got a mile of room to go through from Generalissimo. Guard of Honour's a length and a half off them. He's trying under top weight. Spending to win in front. Tactical Advantage surges up on the outside. Tactical Advantage draws to the front. Just got there. Tactical Advantage wore down Spending to Win. Guard of Honour laboured under the big weight.
Having back Spending to Win, that was a very disappointing result for me.
Trying hard, though.
Very good for Tactical Advantage, James Cummings and Glenn Schofield, who have now ridden Tactical Advantage in its last three wins. It's three runs back from a spell and three wins for that one. And
went $4 out to $7 on track.
Back from 1,100 and 1,200 metres too, so it'd be interesting to speak to James Cummings this morning to understand why he did that.
Glenn Schofield talked him into it.
Yeah, right.
Effectively, yeah. But $4 out to sevens, bookies couldn't write a ticket on it, and you think, well, what's the story here? He just shied right away from it. He was too good again, Jim. Guard of Honour had a big weight, 59. I think his run was at pass mark without being sensational, but I think he's a horse you can certainly follow going forward. He'll be better suited at 1,200 metres. Great to see Bobby Alyssa back riding and winning races. Of course, 12 months ago he was just making preparing to make a return after recovering from cancer treatment. Spectacular comeback from Bob, and he's now had a couple of winners back on the city circuit. Yesterday, a horse named after him, Superstar Bob, wins the Tab Highway.
Snowbrook and Farrah pulling deeper out as they turn. Then Superstar Bob, White Eagle, Care to Think picking up ground with the white face and the inside of Gold Talk. And There Is More is starting a run on the outside. Up the rise now, and Clipper takes the lead. Nix Vendetta giving chase. It's Clipper in front from Nix Vendetta. Superstar Bob is rallying towards the inside. Clipper, here's Superstar Bob. Superstar Bob went bang, away he goes inside the 50. Ran out a bit at the end. Superstar Bob a length. Nix Vendetta got second in the last bound there from Clipper, who was inconvenience.
So there you go. I can't believe Michelle from Dubbo hasn't been in contact with us. Matty Dale has run his sixth Tab
morning,
Highway. And we will speak to Bobby Alyssa a little bit later on in the program as well. So looking forward to having a chat with Bob. And it's great. He does track work there at Randwick, and he says, look, I look at the grandstand and I think, wow, just to be back here. And I know it's the Tab Highway, but he said it's a Group 1 to me.
Oh, no, he's got a great attitude to life, and I suppose what he's been through, you can understand that. And congratulations, Bob. Great to see you back and riding winners. The feature race yesterday, Jimmy, was the Carrington Stakes. Ecuador, there's no substitute for class. Forget the 61, he was too good.
Ecuador's chipping away behind them. Ninth Legion's pulling out three wide. Gold Symphony away from the rails. Then Wouldn't It Be Nice and Shiraz is the last one. They straighten up now inside the 400. Prince Famous in front. Ecuador goes up the inside. Then Oxford Poet. Shiraz is coming down the outside. It's Prince Famous in front. Ecuador challenges the inside. Shiraz, though, is coming with a big run on the outside today. It's Ecuador in front. Shiraz is rattling home. Ecuador, he's kicking. Ecuador, the hippo clan go off. Ecuador for Adam Hieronymus wins the Carrington from Shiraz. Much better run today by him in second. Gold Symphony third.
Going to speak to Adrian Bott a little bit later about Ecuador too, but Adam Hieronymus is putting together a good record on this horse. 5 wins now for Adam. And you mentioned the weight, 62 the last run, 61 this run, and you just think, wow, it's doing the job with lumping heavy weights.
Yeah, he's going great guns. We'll talk to Adrian Bott, one of the co-trainers of Ecuador, a little bit later. But he admitted yesterday they're going to have to sort of raise the bar a bit now with this horse. He's just come back in career-best form, only lightly raced, even though he's a 7-year-old, Jim. But to carry those sort of weights and beat good handy horses, much better run from Shiraz, as Darren Findell said. Mm. And Kim Wall was looking forward to getting that to 1,400 metres. That was a much better effort. But Ecuador, he was just too good. Jim Deploy, a bit like Tactical Advantage, he just knocking up winning races over summer. His will to win yesterday, outstanding.
And it's Noble Joey flattening out in front of Iso Rich, the eminent Duke. Deploy is scraping paint behind them. Suspense needs a bit of room. Then Roaring to Win coming down the outside. Queen of Kariba trying to go with it. Noble Joey in front. Deploy's coming off the fence now. Noble Joey a half in front from Deploy, who's starting to flatten out. He levels up. Deploy going to Noble Joey. It's going to be close. Deploy, the favourite, I'd say, got there. I think Deploy got up on the last stride from Noble Joey, then Roaring to Win.
Called it right, Darren, because Noble Joey, who had pretty much led the whole way, and there's big money around for Noble Joey, wasn't there? There was a big tip.
Yeah.
I was
listening home,
to
didn't
Jared Middleton beforehand, but Deploy up against the rail and couldn't get out, looked to go down the inside, then
no,
he thought,
there.
Nah, I bet it James Innes comes back to the outside. He had to just sort of nudge him out gently too, it couldn't, and then flattened out and just got there. Was a good, sounds like I backed it too, had a tip for it and didn't
get on.
No,
and he got out to a good price in the end. He got out to
$3.50. it was
open
shorter
at 240
than that. Yeah,
so, we were there quite late last night, Jimmy, because out of that race Blake Shin has incurred another suspension for his ride on Roaring to Win. That comes on top of his suspension he incurred at Warwick Farm midweek, which he subsequently has lodged an appeal for that suspension.
Right,
this new one would effectively have him out from racing from January 30 until February 12, but I have a feeling Blake will appeal this one as well. He pleaded not guilty to that careless riding charge last night. Quite a late finish at Randwick, and certainly not a happy one for Blake there on Roaring to Win. Next Saturday, Jimmy, is the Expressway Stakes, which, even though we're still deep into summer, is the unofficial start of the Sydney Autumn Carnival.
Okay.
And we'll see Music
Magnate. What are we seeing? What's
Music Magnate will return in that race. And, of course, he won the trial last Monday, which Winks ran a very good third. And, of course, Winks is a contender for the Longines World's Best Racehorse Awards in London this week, Jim.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, we haven't heard much about that event previously.
You might in the next few days.
Do you know anything about it, Ray?
Yeah, I do. Can I give a quick plug to Hawkesbury Wednesday, if you don't mind, Jim?
No, it's
themed McFun Day.
We're plugging everything else, Ray.
Changing the subject there.
Plug Hawkesbury.
It's McFun Day out at Hawkesbury. What the money there, all money's from gold coin donations, raffles, charities. All the money is going to Ronald McDonald House, which is an unbelievable charity. They support families with sick children, families who need to relocate from the country so their children can be hospitalised in Sydney.
Great charity.
I did meet a young family last week at Chris Waller's stable, Rachel Lubach. Good morning to Rachel. They've got a six-month-old boy who's doing it really tough. They've had to spend most of the last 4 months in Sydney. So financially, it's a real strain for them. Ronald McDonald House has helped them enormously with that, providing them a roof over their heads, etc. Great charity, Jim. So next Wednesday, Australia Day, if you've got nothing to do, Hawkesbury for McFun Day, and all money's raised for Ronald McDonald House.
Yeah, well said, Raymond. What went wrong with Ninth Legion? One out, one back in the run, which is where they asked it to be in the newspaper article.
Correct.
Written on Saturday morning, and finished long last. Regards, Eagle-Eyed Phil. Any update on
that? Worst run of his career. Seemed to pull up okay, but we may hear something more down the track. He's a much more competitive horse than that Ninth Legion, and that was way out of character.
Yeah, and he just goes on to say, re-idiosyncrasies, pretty much everything about the English wicketkeeper, Jack Russell. A couple of them are blindfolding visitors coming to his house.
Is that right?
Yeah, he wouldn't let people... Well, he was an artist too, Jack Russell. And he trained
an eccentric
in a,
man.
He trained in a sauna for an Indian tour. I remember he did all his training in a sauna, and putting a block beneath the accelerator so he didn't overstretch his Achilles tendon.
An idiosyncrasy. He's a great Mr. Perpetual Motion.
Yes.
Ray Price, and the way he'd turn into like a praying mantis,
yes,
didn't
he?
Looking at the goalpost for a penalty kick.
He did.
And the way Jimmy Smith gets all hot and bothered just to get all hot and bothered.
Who's that from? Paramat.
He's got you on the run, isn't he, Jimmy?
Yeah, he has. Look, we're going to take a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, and then after the break, we'll be back with more.
Cream of Country 2017 is a cracker featuring Nashville's hottest hits. There's Chris Young with Cassidy Pope, Tip Moore, Carrie Underwood, Sam Hunt. There's Kelsey Ballerini, Jake Owen, Jason Aldean, Brad Paisley and more. 22 of Nashville's hottest hits and stars, plus a big bonus DVD. Cream of Country 2017. Get it now.
Clear.
Please help.
Clear.
Last summer, 14 children drowned in our backyard pools.
Stand back. Stand back.
A moment's distraction is all it takes.
All right.
Mummy's just got to check on the oven, OK?
All right, one sec.
No.
Keep watch, no matter what. To learn more, search Royal Life Saving Australia.
Whether you want to freight your horse from Karaka to Australia or freight your horse further afield from New Zealand or Australia, NZB Air Freight offers unrivaled service and expertise. Call the team at NZB Air Freight on 02-9667-2250. Choose NZB Air Freight for first-class service at economy rates. Call NZB Air Freight today, 02-9667-2250.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. 1353 53 is the open line number. I've got to say, the pictures that come out of this event are spectacular. Doesn't it look...
The Tour Down Under we're talking about.
Yeah, Santos Tour Down Under. And I know that a lot of people go anyway, and it's part of their annual ritual. But, gee, it makes it enticing, doesn't it?
Have you been around the Barossa Valley?
I have been around there.
It is magnificent countryside.
Yeah, and, beautiful.
And fortunately, this summer, Adelaide's had a fairly wet summer, so it's been quite green. Normally it's very dry around there, but it's actually,
desolate. Yeah.
You're right, it's spectacular scenery and a beautiful part of the world. And our man Richie Port.
Well, we spoke about him last week with Mike Tomalaris, and he said, look, he wants to win this, and he wants to win the Tour de France. Mm. It's a good starting point. Let's speak with Mike right now about this performance of Richie Port. G'day, Mike.
Morning, boys. You've painted a wonderful picture, and it's exactly right. Everything you say is spot on regarding South Australia, the event, the appeal, and the people. And you probably saw the huge crowds on Willunga Hill yesterday. They came from everywhere. Lots of colour here, that's for sure.
I was going to ask you about that, Mike, because the visions that I've seen at every stage, the people of South Australia have turned out to watch.
It's not just South Australia. South Australia have put on a really good show.
Yeah.
And, you know, from speaking to the riders, the international riders especially, and the team directors from foreign countries, they tell me this is the best organised cycling event in the world, bar none. And that includes the Tour de France. That is a huge wrap. Mm,
yeah.
And South Australia know how to put on a show. They've done it since 1999. There's a lot of glitz, glamour. And I might have said to you last week, this really is the cycling centre of the universe for 7 days. It's a terrific place to be if you're into the sport and the recreation as well.
Yeah, and no doubt you add to that glamour too, Mike Tomalaris.
I am going for a ride at about half an hour's time, but I'm not the only one. I mean, there are literally thousands of people, especially on this Sunday morning, on their two-wheel machines, just taking in the beautiful environs of South Australia.
Renowned how tough Willunga Hill is. I think stage two this year was pretty tough as well, but it's renowned as the toughest stage in this event. And Richie Port did it almost all by himself too, didn't he? It didn't seem to be a tactical thing. It was just a courage thing.
Yeah, he's got a good team around him. He did praise his team. But look, it was all Richie, if you ask me, Jimmy. Look, he's a level above anybody else at the moment, at this time of the year. Bearing in mind the Euros are coming off a pretty cold winter.
Sure.
Haven't had much training. A lot of them have been here since around New Year's Eve, so that's about 2.5 weeks of training for them. But for Richie, he's been training since the middle of November down in Tasmania, where he comes from, around Launceston. So, you know, he's been training the house down. I think that's the difference of the man and his competitors at the moment.
It's a great story, isn't it, Mike? Because given what happened to Richie Porte at Rio, there was so much expectation, of course, that horrific fall, the broken shoulder, to come back here. And as Jimmy mentioned earlier, has two goals in 2017.
Yeah.
One of them was to win the Tour Down Under and then go to the Tour de France. It looks like he's achieved goal number one.
That's right, Ray. There's only one more stage to go, and that is a street race around Adelaide City. He's got a 48-second margin. That is huge. We haven't seen a 48-second advantage in this six-day race. Gee, I can't recall, actually. And normally this race is separated by a handful of seconds. That's been the tradition over the years. But you're right about Richie. He had a shocker at Rio. He crashed. He was one of the favourites for the road race. And just go back a little bit further to July of last year. And the Tour de France, where he lost 2 minutes in stage two of the Tour de France, 21 days. And he had to claw his way back to fifth place. And he did a remarkable job in doing so. So he's come here with a goal, with a focus. He certainly is focused. And he's on the right path at the moment. He says to me, 2017 is going to be a huge year. I'm going to make sure of it.
Now, he's riding for BMC and he's their number one rider. He wasn't that for Sky. Where does the window open? You know, it's not open forever. You have so these next couple of years, or you know, he's obviously isolated 2017, but these next couple of years are crucial for him if he is to fulfil that desire to win the Tour de France.
That's right. He's at the right age. Just on Richie and Sky, he was Chris Froome's lieutenant.
Yes.
In the early part of Chris Froome's successes at Tour de France and other races. But, you know, when contract time came up, the bosses at Team Sky said, we don't want you anymore. We don't think you're good enough. Mm. And that was the motivation that he needed.
Wow.
He got picked up by BMC. He's been with them now for a year. And he's just been kicking goals. And, you know, if you look at the market for the Tour de France, and I have, it's still 6 months away. But he is the second favourite behind Chris Froome. It's going to be a fantastic battle between Froome and Richie Porte, two former teammates. They were two roommates as well. Mm. They were calling Richie Froome's roomie when they were in the same team. But now I'm not exactly sure what the punchline will be, but they're going to be at each other's throats come July.
Yeah.
But you're right, Ray and Judy. This is a very critical time in the career of Richie Porte because he turns 32 in about a week's time.
Yeah, that,
and
that
I think
window.
This is the age where he's got to really do it. Cadel, when he won the Tour de France, was 34, and he was the oldest rider in the modern era since the World War II to win the Tour at that age.
Yeah. So this is his time. He's got to capitalise now.
He's still got a couple of years, and he'll be around a long time. And look, what we saw yesterday is through grit and determination, motivation. He knows what he knew what he wanted, and he's going to be crowned champion later on today.
Just to clarify, Mike, unlike the Tour de France, where the final stage is, what do we call it, a stage of celebration for the riders and the fans, today's street race through Adelaide, it's a fair dinkum race, isn't it?
Oh, look, it is a fair dinkum race. And look, the last stage of the Tour de France is also a fair dinkum race, but not necessarily for the overall contenders. It's mainly a race for the sprinters. It's an opportunity to stand on the podium in the most famous boulevard of them all, the Champs-Élysées. And that's what the sprinters are chasing. But if the margins are great, as they normally are in the Tour de France after 3 weeks, then those the rider that has the yellow jersey, well, no one's going to chase him down.
Right.
And the same can be said for today. Richie's got a huge margin, 48 seconds. It is a fair dinkum race, but they're not going to chase the leader of the race down because it's just impossible. Mm. There are no hills. There's no opportunities to pull some time on Richie Porte. And just like it is at the Tour de France, at the Tour Down Under today, it's expected to be a race between Caleb Ewan and Peter Sagan. Don't be surprised if Caleb Ewan wins his fourth stage in 6 days at this year's race come the end of the Tour in a couple of hours' time.
Yeah, incredible. Yeah. Hey, Mike, we've got to fly. You've done a fantastic job for us over the last couple of weeks. We do appreciate it, mate. Enjoy yourself over there in South Australia.
Yeah, I love it. And always good to talk to you guys. You're so knowledgeable. when it comes to the sport of cycling. Thank you.
Thanks so much,
Mike Tomalaris there from SBS, and he, of course, appears on this program. Thanks to Bates Bikes, and you can check them out, batesbikes.com.au. All high-end road bikes, 25% off at batesbikes.com.au. 1353-53, the open line number. Might just quickly sneak in a call.
Yeah.
Mick is there from Crumb. Sorry, Mick, we couldn't get to you earlier.
No, you're right. You got my Steve Waugh. But anyway, I'll go with Steve Smith, the way he lines up his gloves. If he doesn't get the right gloves, he goes off his brain.
Yeah, he's very fidgety,
He is a fidgeter. And you got Warner, who takes that, he untapes his...
Off his gloves.
Every time.
Yeah, he does.
It's just it's a superstition, obviously. But one for you, Ray.
Yeah.
You're talking about this cart ride. I go back to Mel Shoemaker.
Oh, the Leg Pool Derby.
Yes, Blue Era and Summer Fair.
Tommy Hill.
Where Billy Smith was on...
Was it Tommy Hill?
W.A. Smith.
Was it Tommy Hill, I think?
I thought W.A. Smith was on Summer Fair and Shoemaker tried to pull his foot out of the stirrup.
The 1961 Derby at Randwick, and he pulled his leg back. And unfortunately, Mick, for Mel Shoemaker at the time, a photographer, one of the first times ever, had his camera underneath the winning post and got that very shot, which the stewards used to nail Mel Shoemaker.
James Cummings, Adrian Bott, Bobby Alyssa, Andy Pascalides, and Event Cinema Quiz. All that next hour on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Sarah Warmby. The death toll from the car attack on pedestrians in Melbourne CBD has risen to 5, with a 3-month-old baby dying in hospital. Police confirmed the boy's death late last night and said 4 people remained in a critical condition in hospital after the incident on Friday afternoon. A 10-year-old girl, 25-year-old man and a woman, 32, died at the scene after the car driver sped along Bourke Street Mall, and a 33-year-old man died in hospital on Friday night. Hospitals have treated 37 other people injured in Friday's carnage. A man in his 50s has died after being swept off rocks with 4 other fishermen at Tarthra on the far south coast of New South Wales. Emergency services were called to the scene around 1 yesterday afternoon, where 3 people had to be saved by surf lifesavers, while 2 of them managed to scramble back onto the rocks. Surf Life Saving's Liam Howard has told Macquarie the death follows a warning for large swells along the New South Wales coast.
The ocean is a dynamic environment and conditions can change very quickly. Just because it looks safe and still just before you go in doesn't mean it's always going to be the case.
A large bushfire has been brought under control at Coolum on Queensland's Sunshine Coast. Police had declared an emergency around 2 yesterday afternoon amid concerns a wind change could create more problems. But the alert was revoked an hour later, with Queensland Fire and Emergency Services saying the fire had been contained and not threatening property. Fire crews remain on the scene. QFES says smoke haze may affect surrounding areas over the coming days. Residents should close windows and doors and keep medications close by if suffering from a respiratory illness. And in Queensland, there is a fire ban for North Stradbroke Island till Monday, the 30th of January. In Western Australia, a severe fire danger advice has been issued for parts of the Goldfields Midlands and parts of the Midwest Gascoyne today, with hot, dry and windy conditions forecast. It's the US President Donald Trump's first full day in office, and on the list of things to do is a visit to the CIA. The BBC's Barbara Pletash reports.
On his first day in office, Donald Trump is expected to visit CIA headquarters. That relationship has been tense since he sharply criticized its assessment of Russian interference in the election. But a spokesman said he intended to offer his appreciation for the service of the intelligence community. At the moment, the CIA doesn't have a leader because Democrats have held up the confirmation of Mr. Trump's nominee until at least Monday. But yesterday, the Senate did confirm his choices for the Secretaries of Defense and Homeland Security. The president also signed an executive order aimed at freezing Barack Obama's signature health care law while Congress works to repeal it.
In other news, the U.S. State Department has decided not to send a delegation to peace talks in Kazakhstan because of an explosion that killed 4 people at a camp for displaced Syrians along the Syrian-Jordanian border. And far-right populist leaders from Germany, France, Italy and the Netherlands are meeting in Germany today to present their vision for a free Europe that would dismantle the European Union. This is Air News. The 36ers have withstood an early perimeter barrage to comfortably beat the Sydney Kings 87-73 in last night's NBL match in Adelaide. Jerome Randle had 19 points and 11 assists, while captain Mitch Creek tallied 17 points and 7 boards off the bench to help the NBL title favourites to their 6th straight win in front of a crowd of just over 8,000 fans at Adelaide Arena. The Kings, who slumped to their 7th loss from their past 8 games, came out smoking with 4 triples inside the opening 3 minutes. In the other match, the Brisbane Bullets beat Melbourne United 88-71. Melbourne Victory have squandered their lead, going down 2-1 against Perth Glory in the A-League last night. It's the second loss in as many weeks for Kevin Muscat's team, but the Victory coach says his team won't be disheartened heading into their top-of-the-table clash against Sydney FC.
We'll go away and analyse the performance. We've got a big game next week at home. You know, prior to these two games, we've won 6 in the bounce, so certainly not going to panic.
In the other game, Brisbane beat Wellington 1-0. The NRL future of West Tigers forward Kyle Lovett is in limbo after he kept secret from the club drug charges for a month. The club was yesterday in damage control after the forward admitted he was due to appear in court early next month. And in the cricket, Pakistan have received a huge boost ahead of their must-win one-day international clash against Australia at the SCG, with skipper Azhar Ali set to return from a hamstring injury. Australian Independent Radio News.
Got him, yeah!
Why limit yourself to just one sport? Here at TAB, you can flick from sport to sport with our new Everyday Multi Specials. Preloaded with some of the day's best bets across leagues like the NBA, EPL and Big Bash, each multi is an opportunity to snap up huge potential winnings. Discover today's special on our app at tab.com.au or at your local. TAB, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney's weather today becoming mostly sunny, partly cloudy to start the day, Jim.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to give us yesterday's weather.
Light Sydney's southeasterly weather winds.
Today.
Yeah, no, very funny. Light southeasterly winds becoming northeasterly in the afternoon. There's, the good news is, James Smith, 0% chance of rain today. Sydney's heading for a top temperature of 27 degrees.
Could you call me by my nickname, Jimmy. Please, Ray? That'd be great. According to Joan. Thanks, Joan, for the SMS.
Good morning, Joan. Hey, yes. Jim, what about at Liverpool, New South Wales?
Yes.
You want to go to London, England.
And there's a reason for that. Liverpool, the current temperature at Liverpool is 20 degrees, which makes your 12 degrees at Queenscliff previously.
I know.
Something not quite right there.
It's quite...
down to 11.9. Sure you got Queenscliff in... Anyway. Now, London is currently 1 degree. It's going to get down to... It's actually 9 p.m. It's about 8 p.m. It's going to get down to -1, and then... Oh. Tomorrow, there'll be a maximum of 7 degrees.
Barney,
now, why
seven.
Are you interested in the weather conditions at London, Raymond?
I'm actually going there to cover the Longines World's Best Racehorse Awards.
And, of course, nominated for that is
Winx. Yes.
So Chris Waller's going over.
Yes, Hughie Bowman.
Hughie Bowman's going over.
Most of Winx's owners will be there.
Right.
Mm. So Little old Ray Thomas
will be winging his way over, will he?
Little bloke. Battler from the West.
Little battler from the West, eh? That'll do me.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Fly out today. It's a rush trip.
Show me your wrist. Long jeans. Yeah, look at it. Magnificent.
I actually have a long jeans watch, yeah. Flying out today, back Friday, Jim. So it's a hit and run. Effectively, it's only 2 nights in London. So I'm the world's worst sleeper on planes. Any tips?
Oh, please. You'll be up at the front of it. You'll be in the plane. Turn left. Oh, hello, Mr. Thomas. Enjoy your flight.
This truly magical thoroughbred able friend going to win the Champions Mile in an absolute hand canter. That's the world's best.
Hong Kong, Singapore, Japan, Korea.
The best of Asian racing.
Live and exclusive to Sky Racing.
It's like a thing. Oh, no, they're all gone!
Stringer. He misses. The Bay Dog misses.
Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. More on superstitions here. A couple of good ones have just come in. This is from Steve at Rudy Hill. Sporting superstitions, former South African batsman Neil McKenzie, who you mentioned earlier, had a fear of stepping on white lines, made sure all the toilet seats were down in the change room. And you're right, Jimmy, used to tape his bat to the roof of the change room. Steve of Rudy Hill says he was a nut job.
It was pretty spot on there, Steve. And the Melbourne Barrier attendant with the ponytail has to touch every horse when they go into the barrier. Have you noticed that?
I haven't, but I will take notes.
Cheers, that's from Rob.
Yep.
Good on you, bro.
And you should read out Eagle-Eyed Phil. Very, very good. Read Jack Russell.
Some more on Jack Russell's superstitions. He used to drive between games in a sleeping bag with the bottom cut out so he didn't get a chill in his back and legs. Derek Randall said he once used the same tea bag for the 5 days of a test match during a 1989 test match, and he was known often to drink 20 cups of tea a day. He went to a Chinese restaurant in Perth every night of a test match and asked for cashew chicken without the cashews.
He was eccentric, wasn't he?
Oh, absolutely.
He's an artist. I didn't realise that. He's a good keeper.
I think Alan Knott, the famous English wicketkeeper, had a superstition where he used to
eccentric too,
touch the bail when he's keeping this touch the bail between balls, every ball.
Great keeper, Alan Knott.
Touch the bail between balls. So there you go. Morning, boys. Once it was considered bad luck to wear anything green on a racecourse.
Yes.
Is that right?
A lot of people still believe that.
Did Geoffrey Edelson know that? He didn't know that. He's worn a lime green suit to the races at different stages.
I'm tipping it's gone out the window.
Right.
But it
you've got a green shirt on today.
American Pharaoh.
Yeah.
Reigning champ.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
World's best racehorse, running champ, see?
Oh, there you go. I see the connection.
Got the connection, yeah?
Yeah, now I have put the connection together.
Anyway. Yeah. Hey, look, Ecuador might not be quite in that realm, but I reckon for Adrian Bott and Gay Waterhouse, they're really happy with this horse and how he's come back. And I think there's bigger things in store for Ecuador than even his listed Carrington Stakes win yesterday, which was outstanding. Adrian Bott's been good enough to join us. Adrian, good morning. And is it fair to say you're probably going to have to raise the bar now?
Yeah, good morning, Ray. Good morning, Jimmy. Certainly. He's for a seven-year-old, he seems to be racing in the best form of his career, which is great to see. It's fantastic. And he is a happy horse at the moment, and he's performing accordingly. So, look, we've given him some nice, easy races just to sort of roll into the campaign. But, we're looking at hopefully some bigger things in store for him later in the preparation.
Adrian, 62 kilos last run, 61 kilos this run. If Adam Hieronymus wasn't going so well, would you contemplate an apprentice just to get that weight down? Although he seems to be carrying it pretty well.
Yeah, look, it doesn't seem to have been an issue for the horse, but to tell you the truth, an apprentice has never really been a thought that we've considered. Adam's just always done so well with the horse and obviously got a great record with him and a good association, so we never really thought to stray away from that, to tell you the truth.
Adrian, he's a seven-year-old now. He's only been relatively lightly raced, but what is it about this prep? I know he did run second once to Winks in an Epsom, but his two runs back this time in carried 62 to win at Rose Hill, super effort, carried 61 to win at Carrington yesterday, which hasn't been done since Zambari way back in 1973. He seems to have gone to a new level.
I guess he had a little bit longer break than usual after last preparation. He had a fair bit of racing last time in, so we were mindful of the amount of racing he did last time and just wanted to give him a bit longer of a break after he went up to Queensland. So I think that sort of really helped him coming back this time around. We gave him the extra trial starting off this preparation. So he had the three trials going into it. So he was nice and forward, and that gave us we were able to back off him after that first up run and space the runs a little bit. That was the only slight concern going in to yesterday's race. Apart from the weight, we had 28 days between runs. He was second up, remaining at the 1400. So they were some of the slight queries we had, but having that good level of fitness going into his first up run, we were able to just back off him slightly going into this race and freshen him up nicely for it.
So the 1600 would probably be his best distance, and of course he had that good second to Winks in an Epsom, and she looms large going forward. With a horse such as that, do you say, well, look, we've just got to take her on because we have to, or do you try and avoid a superstar like Winx?
Look, we're always just trying to place the horses to their advantage. I think he's probably, best placed at least the mile up to 2,000. Always sort of thought that, and I don't think that's changed. I guess there's some options down in Melbourne that probably come up a little bit sooner for him that, might be an ideal target, whether he's he might be up to a race like the Australia Cup. We're yet to fully decide on his next steps. We'll do that the next day or two. But, other horses aren't, too much sort of what we take into consideration. More what will, suit the horse on an individual basis, I guess.
Sure.
Just quickly, Adrian, your two two-year-olds were terrific yesterday, Pandemonium and Christensen. They deadheaded for third behind Exceeds and Eden Rock, and I suspect that might be a fairly strong two-year-old form race as well.
Yeah, certainly. Delighted with them both. They're both going to take enormous improvement off that. I think the filly that she, from the wide gate, she had to do a little bit of work to get across there and sit outside the lead, and I love the way she worked into it and she quickened, and she probably just got left in front a little bit early. She was out there by herself, and for her first start, I think she just got a little bit lost there, which let her feel the others into the race. So she was very honest, and she sort of picked up again once she was challenged. So the natural race experience for that, she'll really come on, and she's a filly that we may consider taking down to Melbourne as well. Mm. The colt, great effort. He's just going to need a bit further. And, I think he'll be a nice miler in time, but he was just run off his feet early. He had no option but to slot in there at the tail of the field. But loved the way he worked to the line, and he's really, really attacking the line, working home strongly. So again, another one that should improve off that, particularly as we can get him over a bit of trip in time.
Adrian, very active at the Magic Millions, obviously. Any one of those yearlings in particular that you're most excited about?
Look, the obvious standout for us was the full brother to Sebring. We sort of identified him very early, and we're very keen to secure him. So we're delighted that we're able to bring him home. And I think he's just such an exciting colt himself. But to see the deeds of what Sebring's now doing as a sire, sort of just certainly heightens that excitement.
Terrific. Look, great day yesterday, Adrian. The horse is flying Ecuador. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, and the very best of luck going into the Autumn Carnival.
Thanks very much. Good to speak to you.
Thanks, Adrian.
There is Adrian Bott, winner with Ecuador yesterday, and that was the feature event, the Carrington Stakes, the Tats Club Carrington Stakes, and Adam Hieronymus now setting up a good record with the horse, 5 wins on Ecuador, which is a great record indeed.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one VT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show. This man had a terrific start yesterday to Randwick.
Produced, can't get any better.
Yeah, produced Exceeds to upset some high-profile colts in the juvenile opener. And then tactical advantage, as we said, Jimmy, just keeps winning and the price just keeps getting better. I wonder if James got a take on that. James, good morning. Great day yesterday. And firstly, Exceeds, James. She made so much improvement between her first run into yesterday, and the result was there to see.
Yeah, she improved tremendously, and that's when I've watched not only my grandfather and my father train 2-year-olds over the last 10 years, but even the best trainers at Randwick of 2-year-olds like Gay and now Peter Snowden. You know, I've noticed that the really good 2-year-old trainers are able to get their 2-year-olds to improve quite significantly into their second start, and that's the key with getting these horses to get to the top level. And the 2-year-olds that are winning in Sydney, particularly this time of year where the lead-ups to the slipper are not far away, I think we're seeing really good quality animals that are lining up, and they're the sort of horses that are going to be the players in those lower tier 2-year-old races that are graduating into the Group Twos, and then and then subsequently into the Grand Finals like the Blue Diamond and the Golden Slipper and the Size Produce. So. It's an excellent effort for Exceeds to go out and beat the boys yesterday. Beat some really stylish colts as well. And now she's one out of two. She's come up against horses like From Within as well, start before, and Chauffeur. So, you know, so she's got the form around the right horses. That's and right. she's certainly going the right way.
So how do you get them to improve, James? You said it's key that they do improve. What's the secret to that?
Well, to be fair, there's actually no real secret. It's just a matter of keeping our horses happy and sticking to the routine that we're confident in our system can produce. So we don't get too carried away or try to bottom the horses out before they run first up. There's plenty of improvement always left there. The horses that sometimes they're freakish enough to win first up, and we've been able to do that with some of our colts like Eurozone and Hallow Crown. But there are other times when horses just need to naturally get to that level when they're ready, and that was an example with Exceeds, and she's been able to improve so much, and we can see it visually to the eye in her track work in between runs. But you know, she's gone out and produced a big performance yesterday, and nevertheless she licked the bin overnight, and she's cleaned up this morning, and you know, she looks set for more to come. So it's exciting for her owners. They spent $250,000 securing her with Duncan Rimmage at the Magic Millions yearling sale last year, and now it looks like they've got a good running style, a 2-year-old, and hopefully ready to do a little bit more in this preparation.
Well, probably ditto with Tactical Advantage. There, James, a 3-year-old now, but he's just going from strength to strength, and 3 wins in a row now, and arguably he was even better again yesterday.
Yeah, he it was his biggest test yet, there's no doubt about that. And I really thought that this would be a good test for Tactical Advantage, bringing him back to 1,000 metres and just seeing what sort of quality he had and how much he, you know, how much he was really going to put his hand up and confirm that he was a good class sprinter. So he had to take on Guard of Honour, who was a Heritage Stakes winner, and Spending to Win, who had, you know, had form around my horse Hair Trigger from last preparation, and had returned so well with the throat operation. You know, it was really nice, promising 3-year-old of Trevor Stuckey's there. So that was a really solid race, and I was, must admit, you know, I was confident that he would go in and he would acquit himself well, but he really had to rise to a new level, and I would suspect that's why. You know, on course, half an hour leading into the race, he just couldn't ride it. But bookies just weren't riding a ticket for Tactical Advantage. He just kept drifting out. He was really coming up against a stern test, and he delivered in real style.
That was some of my money on Spending to Win. That, mind you, I don't think I would have moved it too much, the level that I punt
a
at
big
James.
Plunge.
No, it wasn't worried. The barrier trial on January 9, what was the thought behind that? Of course, had the win back on Boxing Day. How do you decide about whether the horse just needs a... just sharpen them up a little bit?
Well, after he'd won the 1,200 metre race on Boxing Day at Randwick, I hadn't done much with him, and I purposely wanted him to be sharp enough to be coming back in distance. However, the critical thing was not to lose the advantage that he had of his match fitness over these other horses. You know, I know I had a feel that we'd be bumping into a really nice horse that would run here first up, and so I wasn't surprised to see a stakes winner like Guard of Honour. And, you know, we were only going to get 4 kilos off Guard of Honour. It wasn't, you know, that's a good advantage, but it's not everything. So he needed to keep his fitness up, and if I was also going to change things up with him mentally, then he needed to get that feel of getting back into a slick run event. And so I was... put him in that barrier trial. It was the fastest run trial of the morning. So, you know, so you got Tactical Advantage, got a real reminder of getting back into a sharp run event. And therefore, by the time he got to the race yesterday, he wasn't expecting to get to a 7 furlong or further race. He wasn't expecting to get a leisurely run race. And so he was properly prepared for a really stern 5 furlong race. And you know, he travelled up beautifully for Glyn, you know, topping the rise. He already was giving the indication he was ready to run a race, and the last 150 metres was really a matter of outmuscling his opposition with the race fitness, and you know, I think a little bit of quality coming out in him too.
Yeah, a bit of class, yeah. Mm-hmm. And great to see your wife, Monica, there yesterday. James, she's about 3 weeks away from giving birth to your second child?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. She's about 3 weeks away, so no time at all.
Exactly. She would have had the flats on yesterday, James, no heels.
She's been wearing the flats for a while.
Fantastic. Congratulations on the win. Good luck, too, coming up in the next few weeks with the bub as well, James. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, guys. Thanks
James. James Cummings there. Two winners yesterday. Race one, race two. Good start to the day for James Cummings. A break here, and then we'll be back with more on the Big Sports Breakfast, the weekend edition.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
G'day, Glenn McGrath here from the McGrath Foundation. Want to bring the magic of the pink test to your own community this summer? Host a pink stubs day with your club, your school or in your own backyard and help raise funds for McGrath breast care nurses in communities across Australia. You can have fun while helping make life a little bit easier for families going through breast cancer. Find out how at pinkstumpsday.com.au. Together we can make a difference.
The Kentucky Derby should be on everyone's bucket list, Jim.
You know, in the United States, they call it the Kentucky Derby.
Do they really?
Yeah, it's the Derby.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
not saying we have to do it here, Ray.
Have you been to one?
Never.
Have you been to, you know, they call it Louisville in Kentucky?
Louisville.
Yeah, Louisville.
Louisville.
Yeah.
No S?
Well, here's your chance, because Greg Radley is inviting you to join him on Ambassador Travel's 2017 Kentucky Derby Tour. Oof. You'll spend 2 days in Los Angeles... Las Vegas as well, you've been there
before. How many
days
in Las Vegas?
It doesn't actually say here.
Yeah, that's good. It's an abyss, Las Vegas. You can get lost down
there. You can get lost. Then on to Lexington, which is set in the famous bluegrass of Kentucky. And they call the Kentucky Derby the most exciting 2 minutes on the North American racing calendar. Ambassador Travel will look after you every step of the way. This year's Kentucky Derby is Saturday, May 6th. So go to the website, ambassadortravel.com.au today, or call 1800 777 989.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
And yesterday's Tab Highway Handicap, Jimmy, always throws up a good story. Yesterday was one of the better ones, because it's great to see this man back riding and riding winners in Sydney. Bobby Liss has been good enough to join us. I know he has to ride today, so thanks for joining us, Bob, and great scenes yesterday. Must have been a great feeling to be back at the Randwick Winners' Stall after superstar Bob and the Tab Highway.
Good morning, Ray. How are you, mate?
Terrific, Bob. And as I said, must have been a great feeling for you, mate, and it's been a long journey back, but seems like you were back home yesterday.
Yeah, it felt good, buddy. It's been a while since I've been in the winner's stall at Randwick. So, yeah, it was a good thrill, and especially for a good friend, Matt Dar, which was good, on a promising horse.
Mm. Yeah. Did you get a sense, Bob, or did you get a feeling that you might never do it again? And I know there's probably, you know, dark thoughts that go through your mind, but to turn that around, it must be very satisfying.
Yeah, it was, mate, to be honest. Like, I ride track work at Randwick a few times a week.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's a good feeling. I always look up at the grandstand. I'm thinking, hope I ride winners here again one day. But, yeah, there was a time about a year ago where I never thought I'd probably ride again. So to look at the stand and walk back in the winner's stall, mate, was a bit thrill for me. Yeah, it's like better than when winning a group one, which is good. Very satisfying, mate.
And I'm just looking at your silks that you've got. Bob Star on the silks.
That's a Twitter handle.
Yeah. So this horse is not named after you or anything, is it, Bob?
No, everyone on my social media, everyone's been saying that because it's a bit aptly named. But like, no, it was actually by chance for the horse. Jay Ford trialled the horse early, and unlucky for Jay, he had to go ride at Canterbury one evening, and I picked up the ride at Canberra for Matt, and yeah, you got the chocolates, and now Matt's probably lucky enough to keep me on it, which is good.
Well, Bob, what about this horse, Superstar Bob? Two starts now, two wins, and I think pre-race everyone was regarding this Tab Highway as one of the strongest or deepest Tab Highways we've had this season, and there was no fluke about his win.
No, I would think so. I'd have to agree, Ray. Like, he's a nice horse, like, but even to look at, you were there at the races watching him parade. He's a big, strong animal. He's a beautiful horse. He's a nice horse in the making, put it that way. Like, and it, Matt's got a big opinion of him. Now I've ridden him a couple of times, I've got a good opinion on him. He's only a tad highway, but the way he's winning and, yeah. and the feel he's given me, so like, he's looking for a mile further, hopefully, and he's making all the right moves. So, I think he's going to develop into a really nice horse.
Well, what's next? I don't know whether you've spoken to Matt about that, whether he's had any thoughts and divulged them with you, but where do you think this horse can go?
Well, just by Matt's feels, I think he's looking at another Tab Highway in a couple
okay.
of weeks' time. I'm not too sure. I think it could be a 1400, just by memory, looking at the calendar yesterday. I think it could be a 1400, which will suit him down to the ground. And then he's looking at the Canberra Guineas a couple of weeks after that in March. It's worth 150,000, so I think he's looking at that for the time being. But that could all change. Matt would have to be the best person to talk about that. But I think he's aiming at the Canberra Guineas for the time being.
Well, he's a promising horse. Bob, you're working hard now. You've got at least one ride at Wyong today, Road to Royalty, but the career is sort of looking up and up now. And can I ask you, Bob, how is your health and what's the prognosis going forward?
It's good, Ray. I check, obviously, what do they say? You can have a glass of champagne after 2 years and you can have a bottle after five. Mm-hmm. It's always in the back of your mind when you've been through something like I have. But I believe my body's healthier, and I'm just, I don't look back. I try to look forward. Because you look back, you're always going to look in the dark part. Yep. So I just look forward, and I feel like I'm 40, but I feel like I'm riding better than ever. And I've just got to get on a couple of good horses to get that roll. I'm riding track work for Peter Snowden and a couple of good trainers at Randwick, which has kept me motivated. And I love being at the track, and I love racing. So most of all, I love the horse. So I'm really enjoying being back. So, yeah, I feel like I've got a good 5-10 years of riding in me, so I'm going to, live every moment.
That's fantastic. Well, you may have found that good horse yesterday, Bob, in Superstub. Let's hope so.
Yeah.
Great to have you this morning, Bob, and we hope to talk to you again very shortly on Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Big photo on the front page of the Sunday Punter lift-out too, Bobby. You'll have to frame that one.
is it any good?
Yeah, it's a beauty.
It's a beauty.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. Which paper is it in?
In the Telegraph.
We'll look after Ray you, Thomas Bob. Is not here. He's Brook and Fairfax.
Is that thanks to Ray?
Oh, who else? He runs the show there.
You're the story.
He is my main man. Thanks, Ray.
Good on you, Bob. Congratulations. It was great to see you back in the winner's stall yesterday. And as
thanks,
you said,
guys.
Bob.
You guys have a super day.
Good on you, Bob. Good luck today at Wyong.
Cheers, buddy. Bye, mate.
There he is, Bobby Alyssa. I think that's the first time we've spoken to Bobby on the program.
He's spent many years up in Brisbane. And for listeners who didn't know, of course, Bob had that cancer battle for best part of a year, and he got down to as light as 35 kilos at one stage, but he's back riding, he's fit and healthy. Great to see the great man back.
It is a very good photo too on the front of that Sunday Punter lift out in today's Sunday Telegraph, so well done all concerned with that one. We're going to take a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, and after the break we'll be talking some football with Andy Pascalidis.
Sky Sports Radio is all geared up for racing on the nation's proudest day. Australia Day this Thursday has racing at Randwick, plus the Blue Diamond previews from Caulfield. From 6:30 Thursday morning, Racing HQ, setting up Australia Day racing on Sky Sports Radio.
We know how much you love basketball, and that's why we're giving you live vision from the biggest leagues in both America and Australia. You won't miss a board, bank shot or buzzer beater with games streamed direct to your mobile or desktop. Plus, you can follow our odds at the same time and bet live. Start streaming now on the Tab app or on your desktop at tab.com.au. Tab, we love a bet. Tab customers only, gamble responsibly.
Celebrate the summer with more beer drinking classics. The album packed full of songs for all occasions. And Sherbet and Cold Chisel. There's the Angels and John Farnham. Songs to sing along to with Daryl Braithwaite. Dragon. And Vance Joy. More beer drinking classics. The perfect album to share with all your mates.
Dynamic Syndications and Gay Waterhouse offer affordable racehorse ownership. Here's Gay.
Dynamic Syndications are my primary syndicators and I love training for their owners. They buy top quality, sound, athletic and beautiful pedigreed horses. I will be training for them at my Randwick and Flemington stables.
We invite you to join our Dynamic Gay Waterhouse team. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3368-08.
The annual Big Sports Breakfast Lunch is the hottest ticket on the sporting calendar. Join TK Slats and the Big Sports Breakfast crew for 2017's event. It will be a fabulous afternoon with a host of your sporting favourites, including
you.
Well, not confirmed yet. And to be honest, I don't think I'm anyone's sporting favourite. To be honest, like even my kids.
The lovely Tracy would.
No.
No. Please. Oh, no. Okay. Good morning, Tracy.
Yeah. Good morning, Tracy. Rafael Nadal's playing. Craig Lowndes, Steve Roach. Imagine if Rafael Nadal was turning up. Tracy said, oh, I'm available to go to the lunch this year. Huh, are you? Well, you're not going. Friday, February 24, in the Big Top at Sydney's Lunar Park. You go?
I'm working, sadly.
Tickets, and a lot of people want to meet you, Ray, you know?
Why?
You saw this man of mystery.
Man, I'm pretty easy to spot on a racetrack, as you always tell me.
Absolutely. There he is, look. Tickets at $155 per person include two course lunch and drinks. Why not get a group of workmates or friends together and book a table? Don't miss out. Book your spot at the Big Sports Breakfast Lunch now. 90337534. That number again, 90337534.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
A couple of things you really look for, don't you, on a Sunday morning. You wonder, how did Manchester United go?
Liverpool.
And how did Liverpool go? And I am proud to report right now that Liverpool have been pumped at home.
Disastrous loss.
3-2 by Swansea City. Well, that's the end of their premiership tilt, I would say, Andy Pascalidis. Good morning, mate. You with us, Andy?
I'm with you, boys. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Andy is stunned by your declaration you just made.
That's Liverpool gone for the premiership, right?
Oh, look, you look at the point difference, 7 points, and obviously Chelsea to play tomorrow morning against Hull City and Hull of 19. So it would take a miracle in a sense because you do not give away results like that, particularly at what is normally a fortress. This is their first home loss against a side that came into it in the bottom three. I start up and watch this game, and look, the second half was unbelievable. When Llorente scored twice, it was 2-0 after 53 minutes, and Firmino took it to another level. He got a brace, and you thought the last 20 minutes, Liverpool will overcome them. They were smashed just 5 minutes after that, and it's just an incredible blow. Mm. Winless in three premiership games now, Liverpool, and they're not playing like a side that can win the
title. Stumbling now, aren't they, Andy? Yeah. What about Man U? One-all draw. Wayne Rooney, the hero, as he's done so often during his career at Man U.
And he did it in a sort of unfamiliar fashion, a free kick. It's only the sixth goal he has scored direct from a free kick. He broke the record, of course, 250 goals for Manchester United, breaking Bobby Charlton's record with under 200 appearances or less appearances. So 13 games unbeaten. He struck in the 94th minute. It was always going to be a tough assignment at Stoke. Difficult team to break down at home. A side of them established in the top half of the table. But again, you talk about dents to your title aspirations. These are results that are dents because looking at the overnight fixtures, only two of the sides in the top 10, mind you, Chelsea and Arsenal to play tomorrow morning at home, just two sides got maximum points. Everton, who won 1-0 at Palace, and West Ham, who again won without Payet, 3-1 at Middlesbrough this time.
I was listening to the BBC on the way in and they were talking about the great players of Manchester United. I'll put you on the spot, Andy. Who is the greatest player to ever play for Manchester United? So Sir Bobby Charlton's there, Dennis Law, George Best. I reckon Eric Cantona goes into the mix as well. And obviously, Rooney.
Beckham?
Wayne Rooney, Beckham. Some will say Brian Robson as well.
Brian Robson, yeah.
there's a bloke called George Best.
The great George Best. Yeah. Who do you think, Andy?
I would... See, I love Cantona. I mean, I'm of that era, and he was just a player you didn't know what to expect. Controversial, but just unbelievable on the pitch. I didn't see enough of Charlton and Law.
Right.
I know their records are best than everyone else of that generation, but I look more so more recently. I won't say Rooney's the greatest, but you know what? In a sense of the modern era, Cantona's got to be up there, and Robson for his consistency as well.
Yeah. Hey, Andy, the A-League, well, business as usual at Sydney FC, 2-0 against Adelaide at home on Friday night, but Melbourne victory. They've lost to Perth Glory last night, 2-1, their second loss in a row.
Yeah, I went for the draw in this one on the back of the fact they played in midweek, right, and they got done in Wellington and done comprehensively in Wellington. So it's a huge trip, isn't it? Melbourne, Wellington, and you've got to head out west. They were in the box seat in a sense. They were awarded a penalty in the 43rd. It was brilliantly saved by Reddy. And then they did lead for a Berisha penalty before Marinkovic's free kick made it 1-1 in the 77th. And Adam Taggart scored his fourth goal in a row, 6 minutes from time. So credit to Perth, disappointment for Melbourne. And Jamie McLaren, the other game yesterday, that was incredible that Aloisi kept him on the bench again. But he came on and scored the winner with just a couple of minutes remaining in that game. So it was a big, big result for Brisbane. Consolidates their place in the top six. And Perth are on 21 points. They're 3 points behind Brisbane. Wellington are holding on to sixth position on 18. And all eyes today to the West Campbelltown. The Jets on 17 points. The Wanderers on 15. And interesting, Ray, the market now keeps coming in on this fixture.
Yeah,
it was $1.90 on Friday, $1.75 now, and the Jets have blown out to $4.25.
This is a must-win game for the Wanderers, isn't it, Andy?
Yeah, they've been bolstered. Santelab, Lustica and Antonis included in their squad today. For the Jets, Hull suspended, and Kantorowski, the knee injury, he's still 1 week away from returning. So in terms of players available, it's sort of favouring the Wanderers. And Maybe playing at Campbelltown can break that drought at home where they've had five draws and two losses in seven games.
Okay, $1.75 Western Sydney, which is the way you're going. The draw, $3.75, $4.25 for the Newcastle Jets in that one. Mark Milligan in action today or earlier today?
He was, mate. And you're just wondering how he feels about playing in the United Arab Emirates. His side, Banias, bottom of the league, one win, two draws and 12 losses in 14 games. They played the side that was just above them this morning. He did score, but they lost 4-3 away from home at Dibba Al Fajrah. So not good news for him. And also, I watch closely the championship because obviously we want to see who will get promoted. Huddersfield are in third position. They won 2-0 against Ipswich. Aaron Moy didn't play because of a back injury. And Mile Jednak was sorely missed. Steve Bruce elected not to risk him with a groin problem. Villa drew 2-2 at home to Preston. They were up 2-0 inside 36 minutes. They've had a bit of a torrid time. They're in mid-table in the league championship, 36 points. So they're well off the pace.
Good on you, Andy. We appreciate your input this morning. And we will continue to cheer Liverpool's losses throughout the course of the remainder of this Premier League
just
season.
One final one on that Villa result. That actually cost me my four-leg multi that I put up for the boys on Friday. So I'm not happy about that. I went for Villa at home.
There's always next week, Andy.
Same thing happened last week.
You're due then. You're due, mate.
I have to.
I've got two words for you. Cash out. Or is that one word?
Let it roll. He's due next week.
Yeah, fair enough.
Good on you, Andy.
Thanks, Andy.
Cheers, boys.
See you, mate.
Andy Pascalides there. 1353 53 is the open line number with all those. I'm prepared to do that. I was prepared to put a line through the Thunder season. And that was proven to be correct. I'm prepared to put a line through Liverpool's season now. If you can't win those games against Swansea City at home, you're not going to win the league, are you?
You called the Thunder after 0-4, didn't you?
0-3. Did you? No, actually, you might even know 0-2.
Really?
Yeah. Because of all those players they didn't have compared to last year when they did win it. But even Manchester United, they're gone.
How do you beat Chelsea? Just keep rolling along.
Very hard to wear down, aren't they? 13-53-53. Speaking about wearing down, Adrian is on the line. Hello, Adrian.
Thanks for that intro, Jimmy.
No, my pleasure.
Good morning, Adrian.
You're rock solid. G'day, how you going, Ray?
Terrific.
Just two things, cricket and rugby league. Just on the one-day series, Australia-Pakistan.
Yes.
How would you describe the entertainment of those games?
Well, they actually still rate very well on television. Personally, give me a Big Bash game any day of the week.
You're probably asking the wrong people, though, Adrian.
And you do get a Big Bash game any day of the week.
Probably asking the wrong people. I love my cricket, and really Jimmy does too, so you're probably asking the wrong blokes.
but I really wonder how anyone could, you know, watch a big chunk of that one-day cricket, you know, 3.5-4 runs and over. I'm sorry. I mean, game one...
It does seem sedate after watching the Big Bash. Oh. It seems sedate these days, doesn't it, ODI?
Yeah.
But Ray, you're like, game one after 28 overs, the result was already in the bag. Mm. And then... Pakistan, okay, they went for the victory, which is great, but they take, you know, nearly 50 overs to get 220. Yeah. You look at India and England, I watched bits of that, you know, 360, 380 their scoring. Mm. I just think it's like death by a thousand cuts. But anyway, look, one day cricket, I think, might be phased out in 5 years, seriously. But just on the other thing on rugby league, I mean, Aidan Coleman came out in rugby league week and said that Canterbury pretty much only had to tweak their game to get better. I've got to say, the last 2 years, probably the worst football Canterbury's ever played in the history of the club. And I can't think of even Newcastle, different sides like that, play a worse brand of football for decades in the last 2 years. So they need more than tweaking.
Adrian, what would you expect Aidan Tolman to come out and say? Would you expect
Adrian, would you
expect someone in your real estate agency to come out and say, you know what, we were rubbish last year. We had no listings. The ones we did have were poor quality. We need to improve dramatically. Otherwise, we're going out of business. Would you expect that from one of your employees?
No, not at all. What you would expect is okay, because what we're trying to fool the public for. Everyone's aware of it. You know, Brandy came out and Greg Alexander, who's a brilliant mind in rugby league, and described it as dreadful.
Yes.
So what are we trying to hide here? Wouldn't it be better if Aidan Coleman came out and said, you know what, you know, the way we did play got us into the finals, but we'll bundle out straight away.
Not Aidan's job. Not Aidan's job. If Des Hasler came out and said, you know what, we've completely rethought the way we played football last year, I've re-evaluated what we've got in our squad, and I think you'll see a very different Bulldogs in 2017. You'd go, okay, no problem. But if you're asking your front rower to come out and say that, then you're looking for the wrong people, I think. I don't know, Adrian.
Right, you know, well, but see, it's just like froth and bubble. Who cares? I mean, no one's going to fall for that rubbish.
Well, you certainly haven't, Adrian. And look, I know we haven't got the news to push you into like we tried to do at 6:30. But what we are going to do is push you into an ad break. So there you go. Thank you very much for your call. We do appreciate you joining us on the program. 1353 53, the open line
number. It's that time of the morning.
It is. Mm. Call for it, Ray.
Yeah, event cinema quiz. Call now on 1353 53. What's the score check, Jim?
Oh, look, let me check.
Yeah.
2-0 in my favour.
Well, I must be due, just like Andy Pascalides.
So, looking good for another case of beer at the end of the year, which I'm very excited about. VMAX double pass to give away today, Ray. So you can get the great VMAX cinemas all around Sydney
and New South Wales.
Selected areas, really. But hopefully,
call now.
Yeah, it's call now if you want to be a part of the quiz. And, of course, that's all courtesy of Event Cinemas at Parramatta. Some breaking news there from Event Cinemas
Where's
at Prakash Parramatta.
Where's Prakash now? Has it gone global yet?
Prakash and the team are flying on the same flight as you to London. You've got the Horse of the Year, International Horse. The International Cinema Complex of the Year Awards are on, apparently, next door in London.
I might get to meet Prakash.
Prakash and the team.
So Prakash is a real person?
Absolutely.
We get to meet him. Are you going to the ODI today?
No.
SCG?
No.
You're not going?
No, I'm not going. You go?
Well, I can't.
Oh, that's right. You're on the plane.
I'm surprised you're not going.
No, not going. No, not going.
Okay.
Article there from Ian Chappell, who, by the way, is our legend of the game coming up
the
next hour as well. So call now if you'd like to be part of the quiz. 1353 53.
get a 10% Bingley gift card with any 4K UHD TV at Bingley. Yes, a 10% Bingley gift card with a 4K UHD TV. Here's the deal. Buy a TV with around 8 million tiny dots called pixels on the screen.
Lano, did you count them?
Mum, the tech guys did. And they call it 4K UHD, ultra high definition. Get a 10% gift card when you buy one at Bingley.
And there's a great deal more in store.
For limited time only. Terms and conditions apply. See bingley.com.au for details.
All covered, all grounds, all beaten. Franco won the Champion Stakes and lived up to the fight.
International racing at its very best. 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
If you download a radio app, you could listen anywhere. Even at your cousin's wedding. I mean, you can catch the game right there. At work, no one would notice that you're listening to that show until it makes you LOL and sing the hits you know. If you download a radio app, you could listen while in bed. You'd never hear another snore and drift off to jazz instead. So download it at the App Store or at Google Play, and 250 Aussie stations will be just one swipe away. Radio app, your radio, wherever you are.
For the best price on a new Mazda, Jimmy, go and see the man. What man? The man from Mazda. The 2016 plate clearance is on now at Penrith Mazda Centre. Hurry in for special offers like Mazda 3 with free rego, free CTP and free stamp duty. And Mazda Ute Centre has great offers on your favourites, Jimmy, the BT50s with over 30 on display. You're still going to buy one or... What are you doing there?
I'm looking closely.
Procrastinating. Yeah. Penrith Mazda Centre, family-owned and operated, and with over 300 new Mazdas in stock. Mulgoa Road, Penrith, MD18808.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
You want me to go first?
You open the betting?
All right, okay. Yeah. Dino!
Hey, Jimmy, how you going?
Very well, mate. You're up first, okay?
Let's do it.
Let's go back to back here. As Bruce would say, back to back. Righto, Dino. Question one. Who did Melbourne City play in the A-League on Thursday night? Was it the Central Coast Mariners, Sydney FC, or Adelaide United?
Adelaide United.
Damn. Well said. Question two. Who defeated Novak Djokovic in the second round of the Australian Open tennis? Was it Richard Gasquet, Dennis Istomin, or David Goffin?
Istomin.
Yeah. Nice one.
Did he win his third round match?
Five sets. Yes, he won.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah. Question three, Dino. Which city will host round eight of the 2016-17 Bobsleigh and Skeleton World Cup? Is it St Moritz, Pyeongchang, or Winterberg?
Pyeongchang.
Oh, yes! Got your tickets already by the sounds of it, Dino.
How'd you do that?
Well done.
That's producer Jeremy.
Stay on the line there. Well, he needed to bounce back, producer Jeremy. He was lackadaisical last week, and he just had three standard questions.
A little lash. Yeah. Okay, what, two? Good luck. Derek, you're on the line.
Yes, mate.
Okay, Derek, the good news is you can win this, but we need to get all three, mate, so the very best of luck. Here's question number one, Derek. Who do the Newcastle Jets play in the A-League today? Is it the Western Sydney Wanderers, Perth Glory, or Melbourne Victory?
Sorry, Newcastle Jets are playing who, sorry?
That's what we're asking, Derek.
Yeah, the Wanderers.
Oh, shot. Well done. Whoa. Solid start from Derek. Okay, question number two. Who did Melbourne United play in the NBL overnight? Was it the Illawarra Hawks, the Brisbane Bullets, or the Adelaide 36ers?
She's not an NBL fan.
Have a stab, Derek, and best of luck there. Illawarra Hawks, Brisbane Bullets, or Adelaide 36ers?
I'll go the 36ers.
It was a Brisbane Bullets. Okay, Derek, you've got your name written all over this. In which month of 2017 will the Euro Floorball Cup be held? Is it October, November, or December? The Euro Floorball Cup. October, November, or December?
Jeez. Good question, this one.
I don't even know what it is.
I'll go in November.
Oh, October.
Look, you know.
Bad luck, Derek.
You look
luck.
At some of those superstar players in Euro floorball and...
And they are who?
Well, Mr. October. You know, that's the point I'm making. You know, when they really shine in October. Unfortunately, Derek, that was not correct for you. And as a result of that, Dino?
Yeah, mate, do it again.
You've done it again. Well done, sir.
I reckon Bjorn Chang got it for Dino. Well done.
Oh, that was a beauty. Inspired. That was, of course, the 2016-17 bobsleigh and skeleton World Cup. Dean, stay on the line, mate. We've got a double pass to the VMAX Cinemas, courtesy of Event Cinemas at Parramatta, coming your way. Where are you, mate? Where you live?
Loftus, Sutherland Lake.
Oh, the Shire.
Down the Shire. Well,
personally delivered
them. Jim Smith, the neighbour.
Fantastic. Good on you, Dean. Stay on the line, mate.
Thanks, yeah. Dean.
Miranda of the Event Cinemas there. Obviously, though, if you can, make the trip to Parramatta.
Super cash.
Yeah, go and super cash. And apparently, good news, too.
The popcorn machine's fixed. It's back working.
You knew exactly where I was going with it.
It's an old joke. We've got to get some new material for the new year.
Really good news there from Prakash and the team at Event Cinemas at Parramatta. The popcorn machine is back on track. Speaking of back on track, can Tanya please get this program back on track too? Time now for the scratching.
Do my best, boys. Do my best. Racing in New South Wales today. Good morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales today is at Wyong and Ballina. Let's start with Wyong, where the weather is overcast. The track a good four. The rail is out 2 metres, the 1350 to the 210, and there are seven scratchings. Races one and two are clear. Go to race three, take out three, Mr. Mile, number three. Race four, number 10, Cristalla Rosso, number 10 from the fourth. Out of race five, number two, Battle Fury, number two. Race six, take out number one, Battle Fury, two, Cabrera, 8 Mollified and 12 Wutula, 1, 2, 8 and 12, and race 7 at Wyong is clear. To Ballina, the weather overcast, track soft 5, rail true and 19 scratchings. Race 1, take out 4, Diamond on Command, 6, Never So Serious and 9, Enlightened, 4, 6 and 9. Race 2, number 5, Donavia, 6, Guacamole, 7, Lord Windermere, and 14, Pandora's Tale, 5, 6, 7, and 14. Race 3, number 3, Premier Place, and 11, Bring Me the Voice, 3 and 11. Out of the 4th, take out 2, Red Letter Day, and 9, Giorgio, 2 and 9 from race 4. Out of race 5, number 2, Lucky Showgirl, and 7, Cloud Consort, 2 and 7 from the 5th. Race 6, take out 4, Caladula, and 9, Bingo Bobby, 4 and 9 from race 6. And the last race, race 7, take out 3, Crichton, 5, Luxury, 9, Cheers, Thanks a Lot, and 12, Applause a Star. 3, 5, 9 and 12 from race 7 at Ballina.
A couple of tips today, guys, at Wyong. Have to wait for the last. Race 7, number 2, King's Tariff for Joan Pracy. Will run a race today at Wyong. Race 7, number 2, King's Tariff. And this is a horse that Singo owns. It's pretty handy up at Ballina. Mm. Race 5, number 1, This Is Australia. Now with Matty Dunn. Hasn't lived up to the hype, This Is Australia, but this is a race he can win. Race 5, number 1, This Is Australia.
There you go. How your tips been going? I followed them last week for the first time.
We were 0-2, weren't we?
Yes, we were. Really? Yeah.
Got to change that, Jim.
Yes. Got to get back on that horse, so to speak. Morning, Ray and Jimmy. Could you call Ray Price focusing on the goalposts on penalty attempts a superstition? Magic Mike also goes on to say a little bit about Adrian, which we can't say on this family-friendly program. I'd call that a superstition, the praying mantis. We've had someone earlier mention that. Ray Price.
It was a strange thing to do. What, he turned his back on the goalkeeper
and he
stared at the goalpost.
He stared at the goalpost and he just leaned a little bit. And I thought his thought was to get the kicker to misjudge where the goalposts were. I think I read that when I was a kid. I thought that was what he was trying to do.
Strange thing to do.
Yeah. 1353.
Work for Ray Price.
The open line number. Doug's there. G'day, Doug.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How are you?
Good morning, Doug.
Not bad, thank you. I was talking about Andrew John's coloured hair when he played on the football field, like a crew cut.
Yeah, he had the red do when he played at Brookvale.
Was that a charity thing?
Oh, no.
Okay.
That was just Joe. That was just Joey.
Fair enough.
And how is Mark Nicholas coming on now? Is he getting better now as a cricketer commentator?
Good question, Doug, and I haven't seen anything about that. I wonder whether he'll be back at the SCG today.
Good point.
That's a good question. Something serious.
Actually, we'll try and get an update on that. We've got Ian Michael Chappell coming up next.
We'll ask Ian Michael. Yeah. Ian Michael Chappell after 8 o'clock.
I like it too, Ray. Jimmy.
No, it's always good to hear from you, Doug.
Good on you, Doug. Yeah, great. Actually, stay on the line, Doug. That deserves
more beer drinking classics for Doug. It's a great album.
We should have less beer drinking classics for Doug. You know what I'm saying, Ray?
What do you mean, Jim?
Well, I don't know. Might have had a few.
Doug might like a few beers.
Oh, might be the problem, Ray.
That's anyway, all right.
Yeah, he came on the program and told us he likes us, which is nice.
Before we get to see Dave.
Now, Michelle has finally come through. You knew it would come. Get on the MJ Dale train in 2017. Ups and downs and swings and roundabouts. So.
And Michelle's a thinker. You have to read out her next tweet.
Yeah, so this was when we were talking about race replays.
Good call,
what
this
a
one,
thought
Michelle.
Was. Hey, fellas, how about put the acid on the cow and calf at Wellington? For racing replay sponsorship.
You're never welcome back there, Jim. You know?
What's that?
We're welcome back at Wellington.
I know we are.
They're expecting us to return.
We're welcome back at Wellington. Mm. I'm not so sure that we're welcome back at the cow and calf, which is some sort of cult status on this program.
You've made it.
Over the course of the last 12 months, which has been fantastic. As we